So would you welcome Brother Escudero to this pulpit one more time?
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Can you hear me? Amen. You may be seated.
Well, we can just have church tonight, or we can have church. And which would you rather? I don't think that Pastor flew me out all this way so we can waste a service. We want this service to count, do we not? When we were praying during the altar this morning, I felt like God gave me direction for tonight, and I feel like God really wants to talk to the church. And if you're a visitor here today, I think that God would speak to you also. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel like I have a very specific word, and God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring to our remembrance. He's coming soon. And if you are lukewarm, if you haven't prayed through in a week or two, you're on the verge of becoming lukewarm. You got to be renewed. You got to be refilled. You got to have the regeneration, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If we only speak in tongues once a year, God hasn't got the chance to do a whole lot of work in us, because the Spirit speaketh mysteries. The Spirit prayeth for us the things that we know not. We know not what we ought to pray for. I want God working on me. Not. I don't want the project on hold. Whatever he started, I want him to finish, but I have to give him the opportunity. Praise the Lord. And I feel in the Spirit that God is wanting to take this church to another level. But there's some things that have got to be eradicated. There's some attitudes that have got to be addressed. There's some spirits that have to be made right. You know, if the body's sick, it needs to get well. And it may not. It may be just an earache. It could be just a bone spur. It could be something small. But when that thing is not taken care of, the whole body is affected. Amen. Something as simple as a little earache can cause imbalance. Right. And I feel like God really wants to talk to this church tonight. So if I can have your undivided attention, I want to go to the book of Luke. I'm going to read a very short scripture that everybody can memorize tonight. If you haven't memorized a scripture in a while, you should be able to memorize this one in about 10 seconds. Praise the Lord. I'm reading from the book of Luke, and these are the words of Jesus, the 10th chapter, the 17th chapter. And I want to say that I'm so delighted, I'm so overwhelmed to be back with my friends again and to get to fellowship and break bread and talk about the kingdom and talk about the work of God and the cause and the message. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Schumacher, Sister Schumacher, we love you folks very, very much, and I will never forget you. Even though we've been distanced, you are an integral part of my memories. And I love this church. I love what's happening in this city. I love what's going on. And what I love even more is I perceive in my spirit that you guys are going to go to another level. That there's not, unfortunately, Brother Schumacher, there's not going to be enough room. But here's the good thing. You don't have to go through another building program. You're just going to have multiple services. You know, you think God's done with Racine in this county? God only wants to save 1,000 people, and who cares about the other 100,000? They can just go to hell. Who cares? They could just burn, pop, snap, crapple for eternity. Is that what we want? Do we think that God is finished, or is God just getting started? You know, there's a number of us here, and I'm including myself, that we're no longer middle age. We're up in age. And I don't know if I have 1 year, 6 months, or 20 years to live, but I want to make those years count. Amen. Just because I'm approaching retirement age, and just because you are up in age, doesn't mean that you have to retire spiritually. If anything, you ought to be so mature that you ought to be more fruitful and more productive. I did some research on trees, and in the Bible, there's a lot of trees that are mentioned. And the average fruit tree, when it's planted from a seed, will not give fruit till its fifth year. And then it'll proceed to give fruit, if it's a healthy tree, for the next 15 to 20 years. And at the 20-year point, it doesn't give fruit anymore. But I read a scripture in Psalms, and it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And a palm tree is not a normal tree. It doesn't grow like this, one layer of cambium and then another layer and another layer. It doesn't do that. It grows like this. If you want to kill a tree, cut the outer ring and it'll starve to death. They've tried to do that to palm trees and it doesn't work. Now watch this. A palm tree doesn't give fruit till about its 20th to 30th year. But it gives fruit for 50 years. The righteous shall flourish, not like just any old fruit tree, but like what am I saying? What I'm saying is, so if you're 30 years old and you've lived for God the next 20, 30, you can be fruitful till you're 80. Praise the Lord. So if every one of us got on board, And we imitated our pastor as he imitates Christ, and we follow him and his passion to win souls and to teach Bible studies and to be generous and to expand the kingdom and to be kingdom-minded and with kingdom vision. Imagine if 30, 40, 50 of you just started duplicating your pastor. Man, I want to be just like him. I'm going to do everything that I can. You know, maybe you'll never be the preacher, but you can be the soul winner he is. You can be the giver that he is. You could be the helper that he is. Instead of just being a retiree bench warmer. So do you want to go to another level? Do you really want God to take you there? Or shall we be satisfied and say, we have arrived and this is enough? There's too many people in trouble and too many folks that are lost that need a Savior. Come on, let's get with the program. I'm reading from the book of Luke, chapter 17, and verse number, very short verse, 32. If you've got it, say amen. Amen. These are Jesus' words. Remember. Do you remember? Remember. I didn't forget, I just didn't remember. Remember. Lot's wife. And you look at somebody and tell them, remember Lot's wife? Could you memorize that verse tonight? Do you have the capacity to memorize that lengthy verse? Remember Lot's wife. Jesus, you have brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God, this church is a gold mine. This church is rich with mature people of God that need to come out of inactivity into activity. And God, they need to begin to express and you begin to utilize the gifts that you have given them, and begin to minister in this county as you have called them to do so, so that we can go where you would have us to go. And God, I'm asking you in the Holy Ghost to help me, God, to minister and to be sensitive, and help this church to be sensitive to the voice of God and to hear what you would have to say to the church in Racine. In the name of Jesus, I pray tonight. Come on, let's pray. God, if I have an attitude tonight, help me fix that attitude. God, if I've gotten cold, help me to get hot. God, if I'm on the verge of lukewarmness, help me to abandon that. God, if I'm an issue in this church, let the issue be settled. God, if I'm backslidden, help me to pray through. God, don't let me be the one that's encumbering. Don't let me be the roadblock. Let me be the blessing, God. Let me be the help. Let me be the aid. God, let me be what you would have me to be, so that we can reach this world, so that we can reach this generation and the one that's on its way. God, so we can have revival in this end time, so we can fill this sanctuary up 2 and 3 times. Amen. By your help, in the precious name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. So my title, the title of this short message, are the words of Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Somewhere in some lava-strewn place, you can go, you can get on the internet, and you can see her. It's still there. It's still a landmark. To the side of a well-worn pilgrim's path stands this battered statuette. It's a figurine of a woman, sodiumized, a lady that has been salted with an encapsulated face of mockery. Go see it for yourself. Lot's wife, she had an uncle, and his name was Abraham. Anybody remember Abraham? He was a man who was in touch with God. He heard from God. He walked with God. And I kind of think that she despised him. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 informs us that she had a just husband. Lot started off good. He started off on the right path. Uncle, can I go with you? He got wind that his uncle had heard from some strange god. And when uncle decided to leave the house where they produced many gods, where him and his father had produced many idols, wealthy people. When Abraham decided, Dad, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I can't make any more of these fake gods, these imitations, these handcrafted deals. I've heard from a God that's from out of this world. I've got to pack my bags and I got to go down yonder. And when Lot heard these words, when he discovered this, he requested his uncle, let me come with you. And of course, Uncle Abe was happy to bring his nephew with him so that he could mentor him, so that he could discover this God that he had come to realize. Amen. How many are thankful that you know him tonight? Praise the Lord. And so Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us that Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Don't ever get to the place where you get comfortable to the conversations of the wicked. We ought to wince when they start with their filthy dialogues, discourses, when they begin to tell their bad jokes and they begin to, the evilness begins to proceed from their mouth. We ought to, that's the way Lot was. That's who she was married to, a man that had become godly because of the influence of Uncle Abraham. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day because of their unlawful deeds. Now, the scriptures record Lot's moves. Lot made some decisions, and he made some moves. Genesis 13 and 12 says, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Watch this. First, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and the next move, he's moving to Sodom. Oh. Lot's wife must have had such an incredible influence on him. Because over here is these wicked and perverse communities that she's being attracted to, and over here is Uncle Abe, who goes to the mountain and prays and calls on God, and Lot is, man, I want to be like my uncle. I love his relationship with God, and this is like, man, this is the best adventure, and this is a great life. And yet on the other side, his wife is tugging him. She's wanting something more than a relationship. She's wanting things. She's wanting activities. The world appeals to her. And so Lot is being stretched. He's being tugged towards uncle, and he's being tugged by his wife to go the other direction. You know, Jesus said, remember, there's some reasons why he wants us to remember her. And so, after probably many debates, after many discussions, her heartfelt pleas, her cries, her, please, honey, 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 you're the best, sweetest thing in the world. Come on, baby doll. After much of this and time had transpired, somehow she convinces him to make his residence in this sicko environment. I want to say to somebody tonight, or several somebodies, you need to be careful the direction that you're pitching your tent. You need to be really careful the direction that you're pointing. You need to consider the steps that you're taking, because it's going to have long-lasting effects. Looks good to me. I don't see that it's wrong. I don't know that it's right, but well, Hey, listen, anytime something's questionable, it's best just to leave it alone until you got a solid answer. Why take the risk? Why go someplace and then afterwards you can't recuperate, you can't recover, and you got to suffer the consequences? Why take the chance? I don't believe there's gray areas, but if you're going to call it a gray area, you're best staying away from it. You're best staying away from it. Amen, in Jesus' name. Because the moment you pitch, the moment you set up house, the moment you move in that direction, you're already moving. You're already flowing. And it's just a matter of time. You're going to tumble and you're going to go down and it's going to be too late. Remember Lot's wife. Let me share with you, and you're familiar with what the scriptures say about Sodom's condition, about Gomorrah's condition. The permeation of sexual perversion was so steeped and repugnant. I mean, God was just ready to bring judgment. You know the story. Abraham interceded for it all these different times. And finally God said, enough is enough. And God just burned the place up. It was enough. It was that bad. It was so bad that some sicko men twisted in their minds, I mean completely sexually, morally warped, came a pounding on the front door of Lot's house in a city that he should have never gone to. And the bad thing about these brute beasts is that they weren't craving the normal. They weren't just lusting just to commit adultery or fornication. They wanted something that was so much deeper and so much more disgusting. Amen. They were not interested. They were not interested in a drop-dead gorgeous woman. That's not what they were after. They were looking for something different. They were looking for something strange. They were looking for something that was totally warped and unnatural to humankind. And to show you the influence that this woman had on this man who had one time was just and at one time who was righteous and vexed his soul. He was so perturbed. It had such an impact on him that when they knocked on the doors and they said, can we have relationship? Would you let the man out? Whoever those creatures are, can we have them? And Lot had already begun. Something had already happened in his spirit. Not only had he pitched, now he had moved. And now it's even worse. He's got two grown-up, beautiful daughters. Daughters that they only knew this lifestyle to his. I mean, as much as Lot had taught him, of course, there was probably some influence from Mama. But Lot turns to these men. We're talking about who's supposed to be righteous, and he says, "You know what? They're my guest, and it's my responsibility to protect. But I'll tell you what: I'll offer you up my daughters here." Here, you can have my, what daddy in his right mind is going to turn his girls over to some pervert? No wonder Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He's now offering up his girls to be violated and abused. Fortunately for them, they said no. Oh. Oh, God. You know, I know that we're in the world and we have to live somewhere in it. And we bump into stuff, into things, into people, and so forth. But Lot, why would you choose to live in the epicenter of such an abominable burrow? I think it's important where we live that our families have a certain amount of security and that our children are not going to be exposed to things that are not necessary. Sir, ma'am, perhaps you'll escape. Probably not. But what about your kids? What about your grandkids? Listen, listen. The man of God, God has placed him. You don't pick him. Nobody said he was perfect. We serve a perfect God who uses imperfect men, imperfect women. Quit looking for perfection and get behind the servant of the Lord. Get your attitude right. Get your spirit right. Amen. And let God use you. Amen. You need to do a reversal. You need to turn around. You need to stop pitching. You need to stop looking in the wrong direction. You need to quit, stop making the comparisons. Amen. And you need to respect Lot. Lot should have listened to his uncle. Hallelujah. Before, if you're not careful and you don't catch yourself in time, and I'm telling you, this is a timely occasion tonight. And God is talking to you. And God is speaking to you. And he wants to spare you. And he's given you another chance. Did you hear me? God is giving some folks here tonight another opportunity. God is giving some of you another chance before you make the move. He wants to spare you. And he wants to spare your family. But if you're not careful and you keep moving like you're moving and you keep thinking like you're thinking and you keep talking like you're talking and you keep gossiping the way you're gossiping and you keep murmuring the way you're murmuring and you keep raising your voice against the man of God, and you may not have touched him physically, but you're touching him in the spirit. You're touching him with your malicious words. You're touching him with your criticism. Come on, hallelujah, with your gossip. If you're not careful, it may be too late to even dissuade your offspring, and the warping may have already occurred. You feel like God's trying to say something? Paul told the church in Colossae, in the third chapter, he said, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things that are eternal. Set your affections on the things that are divine. Set your affections on the things that are important to God and not on the things of this earth. You know why God can bless some people more than other people? You know why God can give material goods to certain people and then most he can't? You know why God can give a handful of people riches and the rest he can't? Because most people can't handle it. They get in trouble with it. It becomes their demise. But there are a few that God knows. If I put $500,000 in his pocket, I put $1 million, he's just going to turn it over to the work of the Lord. He's just going to use it for the cause of the kingdom. That's why some of you have not been blessed, because had God blessed you, it would have been your destruction. You have to break the habit. You have to crush the habit of craving objects that are temporal. As long as you're craving for the earthly and you're leaning that direction, God can't hand to you those things that are eternal. And you deprive yourself from stuff that's out of this world and that we're going to carry with us to the next world. You have got to break those habits. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be shaped like her. Don't model yourself like her. Quit trying to imitate her. Quit trying to repeat GQ. Quit trying to repeat Cosmopolitan. Quit trying to repeat Hollywood. There's a reason why God put a man of God and his wife and family so that they can model. They can model for you. Hallelujah. Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, Paul said. Quit trying to look and act and behave like the world. Quit trying to intermingle one foot on the outside and one foot on the inside. Get on the inside and stay in. I'm going to try not to get too emotional tonight. Do you identify with the saints of God, or do you identify with the ain'ts of God? Huh? If the devils appeared, would they accuse you of being holy, or would they laugh at you? If angels gave witness of what they saw in you, would they blush and be ashamed, or would they be, wow, this is a child of God. This is a son of God. This is one of his handmaidens. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If the Lord, and he is looking you inside and out and up and down, would you pass the test and make the Lord proud, or would you be miserably ashamed? Do we reflect? And I'm saying, my subject is remember Lot's wife. Do we reflect Hollywood women, or do we reflect Holy Word? Make your choice tonight. You know, it's amazing. I've noticed in my travels how women amongst us now, and even some of the young men, the apparel that they're wearing, it's as if it was painted on. It leaves no room for the imagination. I remember a thing called modesty. It's called loose and covering, not revealing. And I'm watching young men across America wearing, in the church, wearing skin-tight pants. And we told the women they weren't supposed to do it. Now the guys are doing it. Has the feminism made an inroad into the kingdom of God? Are we losing our masculinity? Are we afraid to be the men of God that we want to be half and half? God forbid. Remember Lot's wife. Our young ladies and our women should be dressed in a holy form, in a godly way, not to be causing men to lust and to fornicate and adulterate in their minds. But Lot's wife was different. She was different. Sodom was her influence. Not the house of God, the houses of Sodom. The Bible says, remember Lot's wife. The longer we live for the Lord, the longer we serve him, the less we ought to resemble the world. Amen. The longer you're in this, the more you ought to look like Jesus. The The longer you're in the kingdom, the more godly you should become. The longer you're in the church, the less worldly you should appear. But I'm going through midlife crises, and I just kind of feel like I had to make some changes. What does that have to do with God? And what does it have to do with holiness? And what does that have to do with serving the Lord? Deal with your crises. Hallelujah. Amen. And so then we get to talking about, we continue to talk about Lot's wife. She got caught up with the cares of this world, that even when impending judgment was about to come, she had become immune to the voice of God. She was no longer sensitive. Do you remember the pastor would get up and preach something so simple, and you would get so excited, and you run home, and, oh, I got something. Woo! Or do you remember the times that you'd come to the altar, and you'd fall, and you'd weep because God had shared something to you, because God had given something to you, because God had done something for you. But now you sit there stoic. You sit there petrified on the pew. You struggle to worship. You struggle to enter into His presence. The liberty that's here, you don't even know it anymore because you become immune to the voice of God. Remember Lot's wife. She'd become so accustomed, elder, to slandering the righteous. It was no big thing to just dice them up and spit them out. That was her lifestyle. Backbiting and gossip, it was the norm for her. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. Who cares if it's true? What's the edifying and knocking somebody down? What's the edification and repeating somebody's error or somebody's failure or somebody's sin? How does that enhance the kingdom of God? How does that strengthen the church? I'm not talking about counseling and ministry and dealing with issues, but I'm talking about just talking for the sake of talking and just running your mouth, and that thing just has grown longer and longer over the years. It's time to bring that thing in check. If not, then you have to consider Lot's wife. Watch this. She was perplexed that her husband was so vexed. Honey, how come you care so much about praying and serving the Lord and offering sacrifices and gifts? Why is that so important to you? Come on, take a break. Chill, Lot. Back off a little bit. You don't need to be so passionate. You don't need to be so intense. She was perplexed that he was vexed. And while he sought God, she sought Sodom. Well, he prayed, she played. Well, he interceded, she interacted. Well, he warned, she warmed. Well, he refrained, Lot's wife pertained. What a tragic story. What a sorry ending. It didn't have to be that way. And so Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. When you begin to crave, or the world makes its pitch and it wants to appeal to your carnal desires, I'm asking you tonight, the next time that transpires, remember Lot's wife. Because here's the deal. She could have been one of God's handmaidens. And instead of becoming this patriarch's wife, and instead of being this woman of good rapport that the scriptures would tell a wonderful story of, now she's just a memorial of sodium. She's just a brackish chunk of salt for everyone to gaze upon and say, "Whoa, did that woman ever blow it?" And so this woman's influence was so devastating that the Bible tells us the outcome. It reveals to us the degradation of each of the family members. They lost some kids in Sodom, and then the son-in-laws, the fellas that Mama allowed, and Lot somehow she convinced him to allow her girls to marry fellas that were not in the church, that were not serving God, that were not in the kingdom, that when they retreated and when they fled, the son-in-laws stayed. They stayed. They didn't come out. They wouldn't follow Lot. They wouldn't follow their wives. They stayed, which tells me that somehow Mama had mingled and had mediated, and Mama had interfered, and Mama had stuck her dirty fingers in the pot, and Mick got her daughters to marry some very ungodly men. That even when God sends angels, come on, get out, they wouldn't listen to the angels. They wouldn't listen to their father-in-law. They wouldn't listen to their wives. And so the son-in-laws were lost in the judgment of God, number one. And so now they are fleeing. And they're fleeing. And they're the angels are trying to get them out there ASAP, and they're on their way out of the city. And remember Lot's wife. Remember her. What happens to her? She just, "I'm only going because he's dragging me out. I really don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I love this field. I love the depravity. I love the debauchery. I love the degradation. I love the licentiousness. I love this. It's part of my spirit. Oh, that's an ugly place to get to. Please, husband, don't let your wife lead you down that road. She may be a good lady. She may be attractive, but don't let her take you there." Or vice versa. And so they begin to leave. And they begin to make their escape. And she's disobedient again. And usually people that rebel to the end, it's because they've been doing it for a long time and it's become a pattern in their life. You know, if you do it once and you repent, that's one thing. But when you repeat it, it becomes a habit. And that habit becomes a lifestyle, and that determines your character. And so she makes her last ditched effort of rebellion and disobeys the voice of God, the instructions of the angels, and the counsel of her husband, and she turns. No, it wasn't a matter, when it says turned back, it doesn't mean she turned her head. It meant she tried to escape to go back. That's how messed up she was. And when she did, poof, the judgment of God touched her. And she became a lifeless paralysis of an effigy, a statue of salt, to remind us to this day, remember Lot's wife. And so some time has transpired now. And the girls are preoccupied because they've lost their husbands. They're now dead. They were burned in the incendiary. And so they're preoccupied and they're thinking, "Well, Mama's gone. Our husbands are gone. What are we going to do? And we need to have kids, or who's going to carry Daddy's name?" And the next thing you know is
They decide, let's get Dad drunk and we'll just go have sex with Dad. So the son-in-laws are burned. Mama's a pillar of salt. And now the girls are willing to commit incest. And they do. And the next thing we know is that Lot, who once used to be just. You know, I almost kind of see that God was kind of getting even on him. He was willing to give up his girls, so they were willing to give up their daddy and follow through. That's pretty messed up. That's pretty tragic. And what a way for this story to end. How horrific results, the impact, the consequences. So when the Bible says to remember Lot's wife, what it's saying is she's a monument to worldliness. She's a monument to the love of this present world. You know, some of you have the attitude, you know, I don't have to do everything pastor says. I'll get by. I can live by a different set of rules. Even better than that, I'm above the law because I have favor with God. Really? You really think so? Don't be fooled, Galatians tells us. Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Lot's wife was a spiritual chameleon. She changed colors to adapt where she was. She'd go with her honey to go praise the Lord. And then she'd slip in the night and she'd go down to Sodom and checking it out and going here and going there. Ooh, wow. And the next thing you know, she's dragging her husband. She's forcing him. He doesn't want to come, but he loves her. He doesn't want to lose her. I'd rather lose my wife and be faithful to God, amen, than to be unfaithful to God and be faithful to my wife. But we can be faithful to both as long as she's not Lot's wife. Praise the Lord. You know, some people come out of the world, but you just never get the world out of them. And you know what that means? You've never been converted. That means you never got the real Holy Ghost. You may have got a spirit, but it's another spirit. Because when you get God's spirit, it's a holy one. And the holy doesn't like the unholy. Clean doesn't like unclean, and light doesn't like darkness. Hallelujah. So don't say that you're like me, and don't say that like you're like us if you can dilly-dally in darkness, in the alleys of this world, and come and act like you're one of us. But I'll tell you what, tonight there is space to repent. God is saying you can come out. God is saying you can get right. God is saying you can fix that attitude, and let's go on with revival, or God's going to have to do some house cleaning, and you'll be a statistic. Oh, man, what a woman. If you'll stand to your feet, I'm just about done. Her love for the land of sodomy became her demise, and as a result, she was sodomized. So tonight, I want to make some declarations. The next time temptation knocks at your door, remember Lot's wife. The next time the pleasures of this world appeal to you, remember Lot's wife. And what happened to her husband, her son-in-laws, and her girls? Remember Lot's wife. The next time Satan tries to entice you with some sorry fruit, remember Lot's wife. The next time you think you can get away with it, remember Lot's wife. The next time you think your flesh can outwit the spirit, remember Lot's wife. The next time you say, nobody will know, remember Lot's wife. The next time you leave the Father's house to cross over into the threshold of this world, remember Lot's wife. The next time you think about playing with fire, remember Lot's wife. And tonight, God intends for this service to be a turning point for this congregation. Tonight, God is calling you. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways. He said, I will heal your land and I will be a father unto you. But if you tonight reject the voice of God, consequences and judgment are coming your direction. I hope that you would be sensitive enough tonight and recognize I haven't gone as far as she has, but I sure come close. That recognize I'm pitching in the... Whoa, 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 no, 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 no. I can't do this, no. It's not worth it. What becomes of our kids when we walk away from this precious truth? What will transpire? What gross abuse will come their way? What terrible judgment will land upon them when all along God wanted to bless? And God wanted to bless. And God wanted to bless. And God wanted to bless. God wants to bring great revival to Racine. God wants to bring great revival to this church. But you got to do your part. Pastor can't do it all. You have to do your part. Somebody ought to be praying right now. Somebody ought to be calling on God right now. Somebody ought to be seeking his face right now. Somebody ought to be pleading the blood of Jesus. Somebody ought to be repenting. God, my attitude, it stinks. It stinks, God. My tongue, God, put a clamp on my tongue.